Maybe it would help if I turned the darn thing on. Pocatello, transform and roll out.
Nice.
It's what I did for a living, what can I say?
Yeah.
That's amazing. We're here with Neil Kaplan.
Hi!
And we're Geeks Are Wired podcast. And this is Bill, I'm Anna, and we're going to be interviewing Neil.
Better known as Bilana. Very nice. Too bad your name wasn't Ben.
I know.
Because then you'd be Banana. Sorry, I'm just uneasily amused.
Oh, no, that's...
Hi, Dave! What up, brother?
Is everyone excited to be here?
Yay!
Yay! Hello, collected humans.
So, for people who have no clue who you are...
Which would be me included.
That happens. Okay. Well, yeah, which is an unfortunate thing, because I was going to ask you...
What?
Explain yourself.
Explain myself. Well, on my sign over there, it says that I am Neil Kaplan, voice actor. I'm probably best known for playing the heroic Optimus Prime on Transformers, Robots in Disguise. These days, you'd find me hanging out in Galra space as the evil galactic emperor, Zarkon. And some people may know me for being kind of brutal and kicking them in the face when they're trying to play Destiny 2. Yeah.
I am Gol!
And then a few of your anime fans might know me for working on a show called Naruto. I play Madara Uchiha. So I play a lot of bad guys.
Is it fun?
Oh, it's great. Are you kidding?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, no, good times. Good
times. You play a super good guy, then Optimus Prime.
One.
But
and
come
that
on.
Was like six. That was like 17 years ago.
Well, you have to balance it.
You know? I did play Tychus Finley in StarCraft II and Heroes of the Storm. But he ain't exactly a traditional good guy, of course. He's what we might call an anti-hero.
Is it because it's over the top that you actually have worked with a lot of the different villain side?
Wait, because it's over the top? Are you saying I overact?
No. I'm just saying that it's a lot more robust as far as your voicing.
Still sounds like you're saying I overact, but it's okay. I'll let you get away with that. I don't know, and I'm almost afraid to ask people why they hire me, because I don't want to, like, kill the golden goose. You know, it's like you go up to, hey, why do you lay golden eggs? And then all of a sudden you're just eating omelets for the rest of your life. So it's like, nope, I don't want to, I'm kind of nervous that way. I just go and do the best work that I can and hope that it works out.
So I did read up that you actually were... Albus Dumbledore on Robot Chicken?
I was Albus Dumbledore for Robot Chicken. There are a couple of interesting stories in regards to that. One is that the story of that sketch was, it was Harry Potter and the Professor Who Broke Bad. So it's at the very beginning of Harry Potter where Dumbledore finds out he has cancer, and so he starts selling evil potions, you know, so, and then it follows the story of Breaking Bad, and that was a lot of fun. Interestingly enough, do we have any Voltron fans right here? Great. Believe it or not, that episode of Robot Chicken was the first thing I ever worked on with Bex Taylor Klaus. Okay? We didn't know each other at the time. We were not in the same sketches. But then, after working on Voltron for a little bit, I watched the episode again, and I saw her name on the credits, and went, what? We were already in a show together? How cool is that? And on that episode as well, I also was the voice of G.I. Joe Extreme. And my favorite part was I actually did a sketch which didn't make the episode. It was Wolverine having nightmares and like waking up and being startled and accidentally killing people with his, you know, with his claws out. Like somebody... Wolverine, relax. No! And, you know, killing them. It was kind of a one-joke thing, but my favorite thing about it was I tried to do Wolverine as a tribute to my friend Steve Bloom, who played Wolverine in X-Men. So that was a lot of fun. And of course, I did the episode only because I was at Comic-Con a few years back and met Seth Green by accident when I was standing in line to get one of his comic books autographed, and the guy in front of me in line started doing an impression of Optimus Prime. And the people at the Top Cow booth knew who I was. And they kind of went, "Do you know who's behind you in line to this kid?" And the kid went, "No, why?" And they said, "That's the voice of Optimus Prime." And Seth pulls out his phone and goes, "Optimus Prime off! Optimus Prime off!" Well, this was my Kobayashi Maru moment, all right? Thank you for chuckling, because I would have been really worried if a show that calls themselves Nerds or Geeks doesn't get my reference to the Kobayashi Maru test. That would be bad. But it was a no-win situation, because he's like, you know, "Optimus Prime transform, blah, 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 Cybertron, blah, 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 blah." And he knows all the words. I worked on the show. I would walk in the booth, read it off of a page, and walk out. Didn't memorize this stuff. I like Transformers, but I'm not an Uber fan. I don't have it memorized. So it's like, this is my no-win situation. Because if I take up the challenge and I win, I've beaten up on a nerd, you know? And if I lose, I lost to a complete dork. You know, either way, it's like, this is not good. So I just go, "You win. You win. Congratulations. You are way to go. That was awesome." You know, and in my head, I'm going, "Yeah, you don't sound anything like me, kid. But what the heck?" So a couple of years later, because I would keep running into Seth, and I'd say, "Seth, when am I going to work on Robot Chicken?" And he'd always say, "Well, Abraham Ben-Ruby is the voice of Optimus Prime for us. So, and he doesn't really do anything else, so you can't play Prime." I said, "I do other things, Seth. I'm an actor." And so one day I get a call from my agent who says, "We just got a call from Robot Chicken. They want you to record next week, and they said Seth owes you." And I said, "Yep." And so I went into the episode. So the rest is history. It was a lot of fun to work on, and certainly a lot of fun to see because of their unique style of animation. You know, to kind of see my voice brought to life with moving toys. So that was great.
If you want to participate, that's awesome. Iron Cosplay, you need to head out to the Grand Pavilion right now.
Okay.
Iron Cosplay is going on right now in the Grand Pavilion.
Now!
Stuff. Tons of fun.
Did he just advertise that by saying it doesn't suck?
In different words, but yes.
Okay. No, right on. Cool. I like that. I like that. That's, you know, get right to it. It doesn't suck. Come. I like that. Alrighty, so if you guys, by the way, if you have any questions, we got a mic set up for you over there, so just go on over to the microphone, and we shall interrupt and take your questions. Mm-hmm. Go on,
yeah,
go
serious.
Over there.
Get over there. Get over there right now.
Gypsy, just go over there.
Here, somebody.
I've called you out. There you go. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, it seems we have a question from the audience.
Is voice acting harder than, like, actual acting? Or, like, not actual acting.
Yeah, exactly, because I was going to jump off the stage and throttle you for saying that. Because it's kind of all actual acting. Uh-oh, we're getting feedback. There we go. See, here's the thing. It's all a matter of your imagination. All of it. You know? And certainly anybody who's ever cosplayed knows what it's like to put the costume on and then imagine you are the character that you're cosplaying as. It's a little easier when you're wearing the costume or you're carrying the prop, don't you think? If you're trying to be the character without the props and the costume, that's just the power of your imagination. In some ways, I think it's easier than quote-unquote regular acting, which I'll call it, as opposed to actual acting. But it's also harder at the same time. I was doing a panel at BlizzCon back in 2010 when they introduced the cast. And one of the actors who was in that game was also in a TV series called Battlestar Galactica. Okay? And she was talking about, when she's working on Battlestar, that, yeah, she can see the camera, and yeah, she can see the mics and the crew, but she also feels the weapon in her hand. She feels the props. She's wearing the costume. She looks over. She sees the other actor she's doing the scene with. But when she was playing Sarah Kerrigan in StarCraft, as she said, it was just me in a room with a microphone. So it's all up to the power of the imagination. You know, it's an interesting challenge because I sit there, and one of the reasons I got into voiceover was because I used to be a stage actor, but the nerves kind of ate me up, my nervousness, my stage fright. And so I finally said, I did something on mic in a booth and went, okay, this is cool. Nobody's looking at me. Or a couple people on the other side of the glass, but I can deal with that, you know? And I mean, when I'm in there, I'm the character. I sort of play the movie in my head. So when I'm playing Zarkon in my head in the movie up here, I see it from Zarkon's point of view, and I see the bridge of his ship, and I see out into the Galra space, and I just try to be Zarkon and feel what Zarkon's feeling and just say it without worrying about what does my face look like? You know, am I standing in the right direction? It's like this story that I tell when I'm trying to describe voice acting. It takes place in New York City. It's a bar on 43rd, so it's near Broadway. And you got two actors there. You got an on-camera actor who does TV and movies, and then you got a stage actor who's on Broadway. And the stage actor says to the on-camera actor, "That's so cute, what you do you call acting, where you get a second take, and you film and get coverage, and then you go in later and you dub your dialogue in ADR to make sure that it sounds right. That's so cute." And then the on-camera actor turns to the, you know, says to the stage actor, "That's so adorable, the way that you sit, like people never sit so that the audience can see you. Yeah, like you're having dinner all sitting next to each other with nobody on the other side of the table. That's so cute. Or the way that you talk so that your voice projects to the other side of the theater, you know, in a way that nobody actually talks in real life. That's so cute." And then the voice actor walks in and says, "Oh, you two with your props and costumes. That's so adorable." It's all acting. It's just, it's a different form of it. You know, does that make sense? So I hope that helps, Gypsy. Thank you.
Did you have any follow-up questions for him?
No, I think I beat her into submission with information.
If you have a question, go ahead and come up to the mic.
And also make sure to stand closer to the microphone.
Yeah, you see what I'm doing right here? I've got it like literally, that's what you want to do. Put your face right up on the microphone. Face right up on the microphone, like I'm doing here. See? Get close to it. It won't bite you, I swear.
What was one of your favorite projects to work on as a voice actor?
All of them? No, I mean, I'm half kidding when I say that, because you asked what was my favorite. They're all my favorites because, I mean, most of them are my favorites, because I get to be something else. You know, I get to exercise my imagination. So it's like, you know, in Star Wars The Old Republic, I mean, I was a bounty hunter, and then I was a Wookiee, and then I was a soldier, and then I was, I mean, it's like I get to do all these different things, you know? And when I'm being Zarkon, I get to be mean, you know? I get to get all my frustrations about horrible LA traffic. I get to get that out, you know? And when you're playing somebody like Gaul, who is just, Gaul was one of my favorite characters that I've ever worked on because his motivation was just so strong and so deep. So it's, each character brings something new, you know? And because I'm not sitting there on set waiting for 5 hours while they're setting up the lights or sitting there in the makeup chair having them put all the stuff on me, it's never really difficult. So, but if I had to pick a couple that were real favorites,
Hawkman was a lot of fun because, you know, Hawkman's kind of prissy, has a lot of attitude, you know? So he was a lot of fun to slip into that
oh, dear me, kind of eye roll kind of attitude. And Tychus Finley is so much fun because he's like Han Solo. All he wants to do is be left alone, have a drink in the cantina, and maybe meet a not-so-nice young lady, you know? So, but when the farmer comes in, when the settler comes in, and they're harried and they're saying, please, they're destroying the town, somebody help us. All the nice guys, all the heroes sit there and they put their head down, they ignore, I can't hear you. And then it's the anti-heroes like Han Solo or Tychus Finley that grab their rifle and head out the door, cursing the whole time. Like saying, I hate you people, cowards. And then they go and they save the town because that's what needs to be done. So, I mean, I don't have that kind of bravery in my soul. I would never do that. I'd be one of the guys going, I can't hear you. So to play somebody with that kind of, with those kind of values and those kind of guts, it's a lot of fun, you know? And Zarkon, please. I mean, he's just, you know, he gets to be just so driven. And I always tried to play Zarkon as not evil.
Well, that's the best bad guys.
Well, the fact of it is, you've seen him on his ship. Is anybody revolting? Is he facing down a revolution? No. So you got to think, if the people who are under him are following him and loyal, maybe he's good to the people that he leads. You know? All right, so he wants to expand Galra space and he wants Voltron. In fairness, the Black Lion was originally his.
Technically still was.
You know?
Not originally, it technically still was.
It's still, right, it was his first, so it's like, I just want my toy back.
Yeah.
And it's not just a toy, but it's something that he bonded with psychically. So it's kind of understandable that, you know, it's like, if you had a dog, and your neighbor took your dog, wouldn't you want your dog mm-hmm. back?
Yeah.
Would it matter that they say you're mean? No, it wouldn't. Yeah. You love your dog, and your dog loves you, so you'd want your dog back. So that's all it was. Well, Zarkon just wanted his lion back. Can you blame him?
Well, it's like the idea of his point of view. You know, he is not the bad guy in his point of view. He is actually helping out his society by uniting it.
Exactly.
And getting what is his back.
Right. Just like Madara Uchiha. Madara Uchiha may want to destroy the world and rewrite it, but that's only because he feels that's what's right. That's where everyone would be better served. You know, it's kind of like a mother who tells their kid, eat your Brussels sprouts, they're good for you. Exactly, and you get that face. You get that face. So you're sitting there right now and saying, Mom, you're a villain for trying to make me eat Brussels sprouts. And she's sitting there going, no, I just want you to grow up and be a healthy person. I want you to be raised up eating a variety of foods and eating foods that are good for you. And you can think I'm mean and a villain, and that's fine because I still love you and want what's best for you. So that's all Zarkon in. He is. He loves everybody and he wants what's best for them. They're just spoiled brats who can't see that. Yeah.
No,
oh, there's a follow-up.
No, but then when every time they like fail something, he like gets all mad and like punishes them like, really severely and stuff.
So I take it that your mother has never grounded you.
No, he's always the one who grounds me.
Oh, so obviously he hates you, right? He's evil, right? So we should all turn against him? Is that what you're saying?
No, he is evil, but he doesn't hate me.
Okay. Oh, see? Okay, so he is evil, but he does love you. So that in and of itself means that he's not completely evil, right? Look at the cool glasses you're wearing. I mean, on top of your head, the mask thingy. That wasn't free. That came from somewhere. That came from evil love. That's all I'm going to say. Exactly. That has to wait until after the panel. I'm sorry.
Oh.
You got to work that on your own time, not on the podcast. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions?
Nope.
If something occurs to you, just go right up. Yeah. Uh-oh. Elder Deadpool.
Yes.
And I don't mean like younger elder. I mean like Mormon elder. Like elder elder.
Elder Pool.
Absolutely.
By the way, I'm really upset that I've never met a Mormon with a last name of Barry. For those of you who got... And yeah. Of course, it would be better if the guy whined a lot.
You want me to whine?
No, because you're not Elderberry.
I know. I was.
So if you whine, it wouldn't be Elderberry whine.
No.
Okay, it would just be annoying.
Hey, so the question I had was, I get the fact that you have a script when you go into the booth to record your lines.
Right.
But do you ever have the opportunity to improvise and make a character more about what you wanted compared
sometimes.
To what the writers?
Sometimes. And there are times when it's not even so much... There are times when the director will even say, "On your, go ahead, you've got to take, do what you want with it, all right?" And there are times when it's can be kind of tough because, you know, it's like you don't want to question what you're told to do. It's like, I'm a tool. Not in that way. Thanks. But I'm a tool to help a creator achieve what they want. So I'm figuring, okay, you tell me what you want, I will do it. You know, but every now and then it's like, look, you've entrusted me with this character and I feel I know this character. And what I would like to do is do this. Would you mind? And a lot of times they'll sit there and say, you know what, you really do know the character better than we do at this point. And there have been times when I did something that enlightened them to who their character was. I had an audition once for a video game and the audition was... an upper crust British grunt in the military. And in my head, I'm sitting there going, if you're upper crust and you're British, you're not a grunt. You're an officer. And so I read it that way on the first take. And the second take, I made him Scottish. And they hired the Scottish voice. And they literally sat there and said, we didn't know he was Scottish until we heard you. Because it was like all of a sudden, the lines that they wrote for this character rang true. Because it was like, I got what they were saying. It's like, you don't want this way. You want it this way. And like, for instance, that happened with StarCraft II. I feel comfortable saying this almost a decade later, but StarCraft came out about a year and a half later than it was planned to have come out because of me.
You feel proud about that?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
What happened was we were doing... They hired me to do scratch tracks. Does anybody not know what a scratch track is? There we go. Thank you for the honesty. A scratch track is something that they'll do when they want to get an idea of timing. So a lot of times they'll do that with video games or with animation. So they'll have somebody read the scene so that they can start doing some basic animation and some basic blocking because it's probably not going to change too much from the scratch to the actual recording. And so while they were planning StarCraft II, they had me come in and do the scratch tracks for Emperor Mengsk, so it's not my first time being an emperor, and for Tychus Finley. And what happened was they hired me for the game to play Tychus, and they told me later on during the recording, they said, you know, Tychus was originally a much smaller character until we heard your... As Chris Metz in the creator of the game said, your whiskey-soaked thing. And then all of a sudden, I knew who the character was, and we rewrote the game. We made Tychus a larger and more important character in the story of the game itself and in the story of the trilogy that StarCraft II was. And it was like, cool. I really helped them kind of... define who their character was because they gave me the clues and I picked them up and I ran with them and they said, yep, that's what we want. You know? So I think if an actor is good, they pick up on those clues. And if a production is good, they listen to the ideas of the actor because the ideas of the actor are strictly inspired by what they did. You know? So you can't really improvise too much if it's an anime because you're dubbing to flaps, which of course was the greatest thing about when I did Transformers because there were no lip flaps. He had a mask on, so I could say whatever I wanted. So literally We had recorded some episodes, and I went and did my first convention ever down in College Station, Texas. And this will tell you how much of a Transformer fan I was not. Someone raised their hand, and during the Q&A said, will we ever hear you, because a couple of episodes had already aired, they said, will we ever hear you say roll out? And I said, is that important? Nice laugh. There you go. And they kind of went, yeah. I'm pretty sure the word dumbass was appearing in some people's heads. And I said, this is my promise to you as Transformer fans. Every single episode I work on from this point forward will feature Optimus Prime saying, roll out. And so if you watch the episodes on YouTube, if I never say roll out, that's an early episode. Okay? But because he had a mask, even though it was anime, I was able to improvise and have that line in every episode. So, yes, they do. The short answer to your question is yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anybody else?
You guys are still allowed to ask questions,
I know,
too. It's your show.
I figured, you know, we have wonderful guests. That looks like somebody's being pointed at. No?
No, that's the evil dad.
No, but his point of view.
By the way, if you ever see that shirt, you do need to buy it for him. You know, a play on Evil Dead, you got to have one that says Evil Dad. Yeah. And by the way, anybody listening to this podcast, get cracking on that. Create that shirt. It will sell like hotcakes.
We might have to do it ourselves now.
So how did you actually get started in this business in general? Like, did you have someone that you knew that got into this, or did you...
Nope. I used to watch a TV show when I was a little tiny child called Copycats. And it was basically Saturday Night Live before Saturday Night Live existed. And it was just impressionists. So they didn't put on costumes. They didn't wear makeup. They would just do the voice and do it really well. And they did a sketch called Celebrity Sneezes. You know, like Richard Nixon. Ha, 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 true! And it was like, so I did my own version, and it was horrible. I did Donald Duck. It was the first voice I ever did, and I did it wrong. So I did, and my brothers, being older brothers, said, well, that's horrible. And somehow I faced up to that challenge and discovered on my own how Ducky Nash, the original voice of Donald Duck, really did Donald Duck. And it's by tucking the back of your tongue in the intersection of your top and bottom jaw and forcing the air through there. Interestingly enough, you do not make sound with your vocal cords when you do that. I found that out when I lost my voice once, working on Heroes of the Storm. So I came home and didn't have a voice.
I tried to talk to you for the rest of the day. My wife hated it. She wanted to kill me. She said, shut up! Stop it right now! Stop it! And I said, okay.
So that's how I started doing voices. And, you know, I just always, I was the obnoxious 10-year-old doing impressions of adults in the talent show at school, you know, and I just always, when I started doing plays, all of my characters were vocally based. The voice came first. And so when I went out to New York to study musical theater, I met a guy who was on radio, and I did some celebrity drop-ins for his show. Stuff like, oh, and you listen to CBS FM, it's always a wonderful life. You know, stuff like that. And it was like, oh, this is fun. Just in front of a microphone. And then I did some commercials. And it was like, oh, this is, nobody's looking at me. And the fact that my hair is curly, yes, it used to be curly. And wild is okay because I don't have to worry about my hair. And oh, this is cool. And that's just kind of how it started. And I eventually moved to LA. I picked up the Actors Paper at the time, which was not Backstage West. It was Dramalogue. That's what it was Dramalogue. And I look, and there was an ad looking for background voices for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So I sent in my tape, and lo and behold, I got hired. And I was background voices for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers for a couple of years, and then I started doing some anime with Saban, and then just kept going from there.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
So I'm really curious to find out a little bit more about Naruto, because I'm such a Naruto fan.
Okay.
And so is it just Madara Uchiha that you
Madara.
Do the voice?
Madara Uchiha.
Madara Uchiha.
See, this is what cracks me up, is they beat me to death when I'm working on anime. I get it, pronouncing everything right. You know, pronounce it right. Say it this way. And I sit there and go, it doesn't matter if somebody says Neil. I'll know they're talking to me. But if I don't say Naruto the right way, if I say Naruto, it's like, no, say it right. No, say it right. No, say it right. And then I meet the fans who can't say it either. And it's like, what the? Drives me bonkers. And I sit there, and it doesn't matter what anime I'm working on, at some point in time, you will hear me say the words, can we just call him Dave? Can we? Please? They won't know. So, I'm sorry, you were asking about Naruto.
Yes, yes.
What would you like to know?
So, working with Naruto, what was your experience like? Like, was it, did you work with a lot of the other actors?
No, never.
Just always in
Ensemble?
No, anime,
you never work with any of the other actors. It doesn't work that way because you're dubbing. And since two people are not, you don't dub two people at the same time. You dub one at a time. So it's like, you know, I've been on shows with people that I've never met. You know, it's like when I was working on Power Rangers, one of the ways that I got to be friends with some of the Power Rangers was not because I worked with them. It's because I would pass them in the halls. As I finished mine and they were coming in to do theirs, or they finished theirs and I was coming in to do mine. And, you know, you'd say a couple of words and see them at conventions and stuff like that. Like to this day, even though I've known him for 20 plus years, I'm still convinced Jason David Frank doesn't recognize me. Or he recognizes me as that dude that he sees a lot, but that's about it, you know?
So where did you record Naruto?
We still record it, I believe. At a place called Studiopolis in California.
Do you do other work there?
When they hire me to, yes.
So are you in the next season, or the final season of Voltron?
You know...
Or can you say that?
There's this... That brings up a very funny story. NDA. And
that's
NDA,
why, yeah. You don't have to say
and of course, and of course, non-disclosure agreement, and NDA. Oh, and non-disclosure agreement.
Awesome,
so,
that's great.
I hope
then.
That
yes.
helps.
Yes, yes.
To be perfectly honest, I mean, we recorded things out of order. So I'm not even sure if maybe I recorded something that will be on season 8 or maybe I didn't, or...
That's a great answer, really.
Oh, you'll just have to stay tuned and find out.
Awesome.
Does anybody in the audience have any additional questions that they would like to ask?
Don't keep pointing at him. Now I'm getting the idea of why he's evil, Dad.
Oh, we got another pointer, too.
Because you are a pain in the booty dog.
We actually have
sure,
a volunteer.
Hello! You're going to have to tilt the mic down.
What is the most difficult thing they've asked you to do?
Most difficult thing they've asked me to do? Be nice. See, that's... It's hard to say because when I'm working, if it's hard, I consider it a challenge and I prefer that. Like when I was working on Heroes of the Storm, they were adding, they already had Tychus Finley and they wanted to add Infested Tychus, as though he was taken over by the Zerg at the end of Wings of Liberty. And so they wanted to, we were going to record, And there's this thing that the booth can talk to you, or the control room can talk to you when you're in the booth. And so they have their finger on a talk back button. And we were going over some notes for the character, and the engineer forgot to take his finger off the talk back button, and he leans to the director and he says, "Now we're going to add a filter to this in post, right?" And I just went, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on a second. You're going to what?" He said, a filter, maybe? And I said, "Why don't you wait to hear what I do first?" And so, you know, Tiger sounds like this normally. But what I did was I made him sound like this every now and then. So he'd go in and out of being Tagus, and then he'd be infested. And it's basically... That's how I lost my voice. But I did that for 3 hours until I lost my voice and looked at the engineer and said, "Filter that, pal." So I prefer the difficult. The most difficult stuff for me tends to be like a lot of the stuff that I did for Zarkon, which was pull it back, pull it back, pull it back. The audition that I did for Zarkon that actually got me the role was very aggressive and animalistic. And when we started working on the show, Andrea Romano, who was the director, who is hands down the best voiceover director to ever exist, she had different ideas, and so she started steering me and directing me toward pulling it back, being confident in my power, as opposed to having to thrust it out on people and be demonstrative. It was like, okay, kind of in the way that most powerful villains don't yell, okay? When was the only time we ever heard Darth Vader yell?
Exactly. Just...
One time only. Revenge of the Sith. When he was barely Darth Vader. No! He killed his wife, so he's not really walking in Vader's shoes yet. He's not Vader yet. He's still that emotional Anakin Skywalker kid. Okay? But in Star Wars and Empire and Jedi, he doesn't yell. Why? Because he's too powerful for that. Powerful people quiet down and make you listen to them. Real power is making you focus on what I'm saying, as opposed to making my voice go out to you. Does that make sense? So that was the most difficult. Bring it back. Pull it in. All right. Thank you. Hi.
Hello. What was your favorite moment voicing as Zarkon?
My favorite moment? Hello, Bob. If I had to pick one moment, that was it. And it was probably the line I said the most, because sometimes the shorter lines, the simpler lines, are the more difficult ones. Okay? Because it's like... So I must have said like 15 or 20 different ways, like, "Hello, Bob," or "Hello, Bob," "Hello, Bob," "Hello, Bob." It was all just different levels of fandom. It's like he was on the show going, "Oh my God, I'm on the show now!" So that was so counterintuitive to who Zarkon was that it was just a blast to do, you know? And of course, you know, "Well, I'd rather steal their lions than their points." It's the thing that I never got to play, but I totally understood where he was coming from. So, there you go. Thank you.
So, we have time for one more question. Anybody?
Well, nobody's leaping out of their seats, so why don't you guys take it? Is Mr. Poole going back for more?
Oh, come on up.
All right, Poole. Make it good.
All right, I think it is good. Hey, NDA aside, is there any new projects you're working on that we can expect coming soon?
NDA? Yeah, you may. It's like I can't go to court. I can't go into court against an attorney, you know, from a massive company and say, "Well, Deadpool said NDA aside." Doesn't that like negate the whole legal paper that I signed? Unfortunately, it doesn't. The only thing I can tell you is a graphic novel, which I began writing many years ago. We're finally finishing it. We're looking for an artist. And in 2019, it will become a graphic novel. It will become a motion comic and an audio play. And I'm pretty proud to announce that the first cast member who agreed to work on it is named Bex Taylor Klaus. So I'm pretty excited. I will get the chance to direct Bex. And Bex will also be playing a character who's very dear to my heart. So I'm looking forward to that. It's called Eye of the Wolf. Eye as in me, not eye as in ball. Okay, but Eye of the Wolf. So keep an eye out for it. That's all I can tell you about. Sorry.
So finish up.
Yes.
Where can people find you, reach out to you, all the above?
Well, this weekend you can find me at my table, which is right back there behind you. It's the one that has big signs saying, Neil Kaplan, voice actor. Makes it easier to find me that way. On the internet, my website is under construction, but it is kneecap.net, N-E-K-A-P. Kind of the first two letters of Neil and the first three letters of Kaplan, kneecap. That's where you'll find me on Twitter, and I do interact with my friends and my fans on Twitter, at kneecap. So if you're here at the convention and you follow at kneecap and you show me that at my table, I will have a free gift for you. You can also follow me on Facebook, Neil Kaplan Voice Actor, and I do answer when people send me emails there. So it's a good way to stay in touch if you ask me questions that you're too nervous about asking me here today. And of course, on Instagram, I am kneecappix, N-E-K-A-P-P-I-X. And I really don't, that's where I let out kind of my other visual artistic side and kind of, you know, don't bore you with a lot of rumors about what I'm working on, but I'll take a cool picture of a logo or a convention or something I'm working on or somebody's cosplay, you know, that I really dig. But if you follow me at all three places, I promise you I will not bore you. I value your fanship too much. I want to give you as much different, you know, material as possible. I get really disappointed with the actors that I follow who do the exact same thing on Twitter as they do on Facebook, as they do on... So it's like, vary it up. So I try to do that for y'all. I give you value for your entertainment dollar. Okay, true, it's all free, but that's beside the point. You're still getting excellent value for that no dollar. Okay? So any last second questions for you guys?
That was pretty awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. And thank you guys and gals for coming out and hanging out and asking me questions. It was a lot nicer than having the stands being empty.
Yes.
Thank you.